Yes, the very dark side of Friday the 13th and evil entities. This hour with Helene Olson on Coast to Coast AM. Helene Olson with us here on Coast to Coast AM. Helene, what do you say to people who do not believe in angels? Do they come up to you?
Well, let me just go back on the house clearing, because I wanted to mention that when you're setting out your sea salt and your flowers, it's also important to open the windows, at least for as long as you can, whether that's an hour or two. It helps refresh the air and equalize the vibrational balance and clear the imprint that, you know, to set it where you want at a neutral point.
So don't get rid of a spirit in the wintertime. It'll be cold.
Well, you can just open the windows a crack and let it air out the house for a little while. But often people love sage. And personally, I'm not really up with the fragrance of sage, but sage does clear a space as well, and you can use that in addition to the sea salt and flowers. Funny about sage is that sage doesn't really get rid of ghosts. It irritates them. Sometimes they'll float away, but most likely they'll sort of hide or float away and then come right back. So ghosts are a different kind of energy. I'm talking about just clearing the imprint of a house to make it feel lighter and better. And what was your question, George?
Well, the question is, if people come up to you, or have they come up to you, and they just simply don't believe, they don't believe in angels, they don't believe in anything, what do you say to them?
I think that everybody has a right to believe what they'd like to believe.
Or not believe.
Or not believe. And I never try to convince anybody of anything. But it's very interesting that when people want to have a discussion with me, I'll say to them that you're intuitive too. You know when you meet someone whether you like them or not. You know whether you like the place you're at or not. And all it takes is one incident often for a skeptic to kind of change their mind a little bit. You know, one glimpse of a ghost, one incident that they felt was a miracle, and suddenly their mindset is a little different. And I can never convince anybody of how they should believe. I don't even want to, George, you know?
But if they have that kind of experience, they generally will change on their own then, won't they?
Yes, they will, because they'll start questioning themselves, like, how did that occur? How did I see that? It can't be real, and I haven't lost my mind, so what's going on? And they'll start asking a lot of questions and doing some reading and so forth, yeah.
Have you ever come across something that was just so scary for you, so horrible, that you just have never forgotten it?
Oh, I had a case like that not that long ago, a couple years ago.
What happened?
A woman came to me. She lived in Marblehead, Massachusetts, which is also a very old place. It borders Salem. And actually, Marblehead was originally part of Salem and it became its own town back in the 1600s. But she was telling me that all kinds of things were bothering her at night. And I went to the home. And that was kind of interesting because most of my work I do distance. You know, it's about remote viewing. It's about me using my guidance and the entities that I deal with to help me. And this time I went to her house. And I have to tell you, George, it was loaded with all kinds of beings and things. And a couple of the things that I saw, they were not human. They were creatures, energetic creatures. And one of them came right down the stairs, right towards me to attack me. And after working with that space with the angels and my guides, and I did close a couple of portals there, and in the end, what it really was is, first of all, this person was sensitive, so she was seeing and feeling all of these things. But what it really was what they told me it was a transit point that was connected to the land there. And it got so overwhelming in the aspect of no matter what I cleared, other things came back, that she basically moved. I mean, it came to that point, look, you're going to keep experiencing this at one level or another. So you really need to leave this place because you are sensitive, you're feeling it, they're waking you up at night, you're seeing it. Why are you even staying here? This is a very ancient and earth-connected opening. And so she actually moved.
A friend of mine was telling me today that she had seen a blob type thing in their room. And
oh,
she
yeah.
said it was the scariest thing. And she ultimately got someone to come over and help them. And they told them that, you know, there was a 21-year-old young man in the room, a spirit of, who had committed suicide.
Oh, that's very difficult.
Yep, and just did not want to leave and was also very angry.
Oh, yes.
And they could hear things. They could hear, they even had inspectors come in the attic because they heard thumping around going up there. And, of course, the inspectors weren't able to find anything. It was strangely a strange house. But they finally got rid of this entity, and it hasn't occurred now in 6 months. So I guess they can't go away.
That's true, and I have run across situations like that. And what it is that person who committed suicide in anger decided not to cross over. And so when that happens and that person is a ghost, their energy stays right on this plane, George. And people will hear audible voices. They will hear bumping. They will hear all kinds of things. Sometimes things are falling off the walls. Whatever that is, I mean, it can be very disconcerting. And beyond that, it makes people in the house feel physically lousy. You know, they just don't feel like they have the energy or whatever. And often a ghost like that doesn't want people in the house. And to cross someone like that over can be a little bit difficult, but it absolutely can be done. And crossing ghosts is a very, very interesting aspect of work that I do. And the reason why people don't cross over is because they don't want to, George. We do have some measure of free will, and if they decide to stay because they love their family or they love their home so much, they're so obsessive in their thought of staying here, or conversely, they won't go to the other side because they believe in their soul that they'll be punished, they stay here. Now, I want to quantify that, because obviously there are millions of passings every year. If 10% of the passing turned into ghostly energy, you know, we'd just be bumping into them all day long, right? So it's not as usual an occurrence that, as people think, but it's definitely prevalent, and because the energy has changed so much around the planet, a lot of these things are much more evident and apparent and able to be felt and seen than they were in years past, too. So, I mean, you can remove an entity like this sad young man from the house. And it
is sad, Helene.
And, you know, Sage isn't going to work on that, George.
No.
You really need a psychic person who's qualified to and practiced to actually facilitate that.
Let's go to Donna now in Sacramento, get things going here on our wild card line. Hello, Donna. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you. I'm a first-time caller, and I enjoy your program immensely. Helene, my full name is Donna Helene Warner. And my question is, I was adopted at shortly after birth, and it was the closed adoption era. And so during that time, there's a lot of stigma, of course. And I've done a lot of personal work, and I had a spirit companion, which I released some years ago. I just wanted to know what the angels might say about anything pertaining to my biological mother and father.
Okay. George?
Yep.
Are we doing readings on this show?
Not necessarily, but if you want to do one for her, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so when we come into the idea of a closed adoption, it is a very serious issue that people sort of do a lot of searching for throughout their lives. And what I'm hearing from my guide right now, Donna, is that your search for this biological family has met with no success for you.
Correct, pretty much. I got a letter. You know, I got an envelope with a number and a little description of why my mother didn't marry my father.
But
and my biological ancestry.
Yeah, but you didn't get any success in finding out exactly who they were individually. And so they're telling me that you have spent almost a kind of made this a big mission for yourself, okay? And I know that that sounds really general, but the reason why they're telling me this is because they actually want you to put it behind you in some way. That continuing to knock on doors, that continuing to try to find these people is getting frustrating. And the people do not want to be found. That's what I'm hearing right now. This was a difficult situation for them at the time. And the mom especially was heartbroken, but she felt that you would get a better life or a better start in life than she could provide. And they would like you to just enjoy your life now, to not focus on this as you have, I guess, for many years now. And so I know that's hard to hear, but they're not telling me that, you know, they're not telling me you're going to meet with enormous success. So how can you keep going over and over it, you know, Donna?
Colleen, when you talk about this negative energy, how does it grow? How does it get bigger and manifest itself?
You mean as an attachment with people?
Or just wherever it accumulates?
Well, it depends on what it is. If it's something in the earth that's creating an energy field, it will just keep attracting. If it's with a person and the person is cowering and being afraid to not do what the entity wants, then it will just get more powerful because it's feeding on fear. And I have seen people who get in that mode, in that track, and then they end up with not just one entity, but several.
Next up, we go to Chad in Albany, New York. Chad, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I wanted to ask your guest. You know, I kind of believe in a lot of stuff she's saying, but I don't understand how she communicates with these angels, and I'm really curious how that physically takes place, if it's in her head or she just communicates with these invisible entities. How does that work?
How does that come to you?
Well, it comes to me as a voice in my mind most often. Now what I do, which I didn't do at the beginning because I didn't know how, I was just open all the time, and you just can't live like that forever, George. So now what I do is I sort of open my psychic channel and then I close my psychic channel. I really don't want information about people in the supermarket or, you know.
You get bombarded that way.
You do, and it's very exhausting. It is. So I do open and I ask for the divine guidance, and I often hear a voice. But also, the idea of hearing a voice isn't necessarily something that everybody will get. Anybody who wants to expand their intuition can do that by trusting their channel, by learning several techniques to open their minds. And then what happens is you start getting very specific thoughts that you know are not your own. And there are many psychics who absolutely trust this method of communication, and they're very, very good at what they do. So it's not necessarily about hearing a voice, but I do hear them. Yes.
Chad, thanks. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Colleen, when people come to you, are they coming to you primarily to cleanse a house, to talk to them about negativity? What do they want?
Most often people are looking for spiritual guidance these days. You know, the idea that you can go to a psychic and say, okay, what's going to happen next month, is not really how the universe wants us to think. A psychic is seeing what's going to happen to you next month based on your decisions, based on your choices, based on your mindset, your heart. The idea is to get information so that you can make better choices. And so if you go to a psychic who says, oh, you're going to lose your job next month, well, that's good information because now you can look for a job while you're still employed, you see. But that occurrence of you're losing your job and having nothing doesn't have to happen. We have the option of changing most things, George. That's what I believe.
Well, that's the important thing. We do have that ability, I think, to alter the course of whatever the destiny may be laid out for
right.
us, don't we?
Right.
Let's go to our first-time caller, Carol in San Francisco. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Oh, my gosh. This is great. Just to let you know, George, it's like my newfound passion to listen to your show. I want to dedicate this to my friend Wayne Williams, just very briefly. But I just want to go ahead and ask, who is the psychic that we're speaking with?
Her name's Helene.
Helene, it's a pleasure.
Oh, thank you for calling.
It is recently my birthday, 25, and I was really onto the show last night about the astrology and everything, but basically I've always felt from a very early age super, super intuitive, and I haven't always followed that.
I'm telling that you've had a lot of trouble in your life because you hear the information either in thought or, you know, mostly in thought for you, but you know the information and then you make a different choice. Why do you do that?
We
all do.
Very much brought about through, I think, our lives in general.
You do it a lot.
Personal, I think my father escaped from a communist country, came to America, met my mother, they're just polar opposites. So it put me in the state, being an only child from a very early age, kind of predisposed to introspection, self-reflection. Mm-hmm. But that being kind of me crashing with society's standards and what you have to do as far as, you know, conforming and going to school and being brought up in the traditional kind of way academically, created a lot of cognitive dissonance, if that makes any sense. So I'm at this point in my life where I really am like searching for my own path, my own way of balancing out these things these conflicts that I've been dealing with my whole life. But it's just like, I feel that these energies that from early age, I've experienced the death of loved ones. Particularly my first experience was my dad's grandmother, my great grandmother from Bulgaria, who immigrated, who was like a huge, like she had a psychological, very psychic kind of influence on me from an early age, artistically, emotionally, in every way. We had a really strong bond, and she died at the house.
The reason why is because you knew her before.
In a past life, you mean?
Yeah. I was just told that you were already familiar with her. You knew each other. You had a very strong connection with her. It wasn't just because you were her grandchild. It was because there was a true connection there.
Is psychic ability, though we all have it, is it also genetic? I mean, did maybe the grandmother pass it down to Carol?
Well, you know, I believe that that is true. That goes on in a lot of families, but then you wonder, is it really genetic, or is it that believability, that idea that it absolutely exists, it was introduced at an early age so that the child never closes down? They're not conditioned to think that they can't, or that the things that they're experiencing are not real. You know, most children are open, George. Most
are. Well, that's true. But I have seen in so many families where the mother or the grandmother or the father is so intuitive and so psychic that it's always passed down to one of the children. I've seen that happen time and time again. We're going to come back with more phone calls with Helene Olson right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, how about shout-out time? Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Those of you listening to your favorite radio stations across North America, 570 strong, thank you so much. Coast Insiders, appreciate everything you do. XM Talk, Channel 246. And how about the various chat rooms and groups all over the place? Imaginative Worlds, thank you so much. Into Infinity, fantastic forum too. Coast to Coast Elite Group, the National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, those of you who follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Yahoo Chat, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, the Nighthawk Nation, of course, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters. Kane will be there. He's going to be one of our guests the end of October near Halloween. He's got a brand new book out, Kane Hodder. It's very spooky. And our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis, thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. This is our final segment with Helene Olson. We'll take your calls as well. Helene, do you think people are born with this gift of psychic ability? Is it, you know, we talk about the genetics of it. Are they born with it?
I believe that everyone is born with it, but it's just like any other gift or talent. Some people are born to be athletes or musicians or any kind of field that you can think of. And yes, I think that everyone has a talent that they can expand on, but there are going to be people who are able to open it to a larger degree.
How about negativity? Do they, are they born with that, people who are like psychic vampires?
Sometimes they come in with that in their soul, that they have a lot of things to clear in this lifetime. And if, especially, we can be conditioned to be negative by our surroundings also. But you always hear about that beautiful family who has that one child that just seems to be toxic. You know, everything's negative. Nothing is, their behavior is nothing like the other children, you know, psychologically, that they're constantly espousing negativity and wrapped in drama and all that sort of thing. And that is part of a personality issue, but I believe that a lot of that does come in at the soul level because there are a lot of things that they need to learn while they're here. And unfortunately, some of those people don't ever really learn it while they're here. They're just repeating a pattern, George.
Have you ever been at an exorcism?
No. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure that I would attend.
Yeah, you wouldn't want that, would you?
That's a really extreme issue. And actually, people who feel that they have negative attachments with them, one of the recommendations that I've heard from my guides from time to time is that the person actually go see a priest or a clergy member, whatever, you know, whatever religion that is, because in a house of worship like a church, there is immense God presence. There is immense prayer. It is totally light. And that kind of makes the negative energy feel very uncomfortable. So I have heard that incorporating that with a clearing can help in some cases.
Helene, when you go into a room, can you feel the negativity or the positive energy around it just with your body?
Yes, and I think most of us do. I know you do, George.
I do.
I mean,
yeah.
we're all kind of attuned to that. And when you really think about it, I think that, you know, in modern times, we're using our sixth sense far less than they did even 150 years ago. We didn't have the Weather Channel 150 years ago, George.
No, we did
people
not.
People had to connect to that spidey sense to figure out, and many more people were aware that someone was coming to visit them or, you know, the weather was going to change, all of that, because they were really tuned to it. And we've kind of lost a lot of that in modern times.
Well, we sure have. Mm-hmm. And let's take a few calls here for you as the clock is ticking away. We're going to go to Lila in Vancouver, Canada. Good morning, Lila. Go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi.
A few years ago, my mother and I were going to psychic meetings, a lot of lovely ladies from London, and I was going to go into a developing class.
Yeah.
Only I heard anybody negative could bring all sorts of entities. Well, my mother, in the meantime, died and said, if you believe, she would get back to me any way she could just to prove one way or the other. Well, I've never heard from mother, but I had a dream where the ugliest, oozing, slithering, horrid face was in my dream. It was scary. I woke up saying the Lord's Prayer. I didn't know that I knew every word to the Lord's Prayer still. I sat up and I said that. I repeated that prayer over and over for about 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. That face was so horrid. And I wonder, can you be a target again for something like this?
Can you be what? Sorry, I missed.
A target for some other horrid thing in your dream again.
Oh, absolutely. Because in our dream state, we are able to open to the universe. And the way I'm getting your experience is that this wasn't a random dream. When you woke up, you remembered every vivid detail of it as though you experienced it. And then even now, some years later, you still remember every vivid detail and feel as though you experience it again when you think of it. So it was an actual interaction. But in your case, I have to say that it was a random event because something wanted to scare you. They saw your light, and that's all.
And it did a good job doing that. In the dream state, how dangerous is it to come across some of these negative entities?
I don't. I mean, it can be dangerous because it's a way that they can sort of get to you and bother you in your life. But most people seem to be able to sort of shake off a dream. And if you study anything about dream analysis or controlling your dreams, you can actually garner a lot of protection for yourself energetically and stop those occurrences.
What would you rather do? Get on something that had Friday the 13th on it or deal with some evil entity?
I don't understand the question, George. Friday the 13th.
Would you like to get on a plane and sit in row 13? Do they even have row 13?
I'd get on the plane first, I think.
Let's go to Jill in Philadelphia. Hello, Jill. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I had a question about evoking our archangels. I'm particularly thinking about Raphael. This has been really researching how this thing is approached, and it appears that people like the physicists who are into intention and magicians, all those people say that in order to really connect and evoke an archangel in reality, you need to be able to attain a deep meditative state in order to even get the whole ball rolling. And I wonder about poor people who maybe, you know, wanting healing from Raphael, the divine physician, who aren't able to do that kind of thing. It seems unfair that you have to be able to have this ability to deeply meditate in order to benefit. But it appears that the people who are even good-hearted who can't do it don't appear to have the success that these people who happen to be able to do it. And I'm wondering, you know, what can we, who can't do that, how can we, evoke Raphael for healing or whatever?
Hmm. How do you do that, Helene?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. I don't want anybody out there to think that they don't have the power to connect with the divine. Every single person has the power to connect with the divine.
Whether you believe or not, right?
Most people believe in something, that there's something else there. What her question is why do the people who study this for so long and get into it so deeply seem to be able to be connected, and she or others who are just lay people who haven't really spent the years practicing can't? But I'm saying that you can.
Well, and I'm also not sure that's the case. I don't think someone who's very astute in terms of intellect or studies has a better connection with the other side.
Well, she's talking about studying sort of Enochian magic and, you know, all of these kind of metaphysical connections. But here's the thing. If you sit in meditation, and meditation, George, is a dirty word to some people. They think they're going to have to sit on the floor for 5 hours
and chant.
All of that. Yeah. But how you really start meditating is I recommend people go to a beginner's class, because everybody there isn't sure that they can meditate, and the leader or teacher is the one that's going to have the group on the same vibrational level. Group energy connects, and before you'll know it, you'll learn how to be in a place where your mind is clear of thought. And once you can get there, you can spend as much or as little time meditating as you like to, but you can actually get into a very deep meditative state. And I have talked to many people over the years, George, who say, I can't meditate, I can't, and my mind is always racing, there's no way. You know what, it's not true. They have to want to, first of all. But when you're in the group setting where the energy is connecting, it might be a little harder for them, but they will eventually learn how to clear their mind so that they have open space.
It's actually healthy to meditate, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I mean, you can get a beginner's class sometimes at hospitals, community centers. It's often free or very little charge. And it's worth pursuing because I'll tell you, after you practice it for a while and you get to the point where you can really clear your mind, you can do it pretty quickly. And once you're sort of in that state for even as little as 10 or 15 minutes, you can come out of that feeling much more clarity. You know, all those things that were bugging you suddenly are lining up, and you're thinking about them one at a time, and you have a sense of calm and peace. But in that context, asking with strong intention, faith and belief that you can connect to the divine, you will eventually start feeling angelic energy around you.
Next up, it's Kurt's turn in Wilmington, North Carolina. That's east, of course. Hey, Kurt, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Kurt.
Hi, Kurt.
Thank you.
Ms. Olson, just a question. I've been hired to do a project. It's a graphic novel, and it deals with angels and demons on Earth. And it's like a 9-month project, and I've already worked on it for a few months, and I'm just wondering if, with all the research I do, because I research the Bible as well as the opposite sides, am I running a risk of, bringing something bad on
me? Well, now, that's an interesting take. I don't think he is, but what do you think, Aline?
I think that if you're looking at it all objectively and you're not standing in fear of it, that you have less a chance of being sort of connected to the darkness, okay? If you're looking at it and getting all worried and having constant obsessive thoughts, I hope they don't get me, well, that's sort of like calling them, And you are worried about this, Kurt, and I want you to get yourself together and get truly aligned in understanding that you're totally in the light of the divine, and that you're doing this purely from a research perspective, and you won't be bothered.
You can be bothered with Ouija boards. What else?
Oh, boy.
What are
one thing that people have been bothered with a lot that I've gotten several calls about is that they spend a lot of time watching paranormal shows.
Yeah.
And then they think they want to help the Earth by helping ghosts cross over. So without knowing anything about energetic protection or how to handle this, they're just walking into cemeteries and haunted places and then shocked that they've brought something negative or ugly home with them.
I would like to caution
people about making sure they do their homework before they get involved in these kinds of practices.
Let's go to Patricia in Oregon. Welcome to the program. Hi, Patricia.
Hi there. I love the show. It's wonderful to hear her talking about meditation and just everything she's saying.
Thank you, Patricia.
There are two things that I thought I'd mention tonight, like being healthy, how important it is for your body to be healthy, or rather, how influential, negativity has when you're not healthy.
What an interesting question that is. I don't think I've ever heard that question, and I love it. The body is the house for our soul, and we are required to maintain that vessel. And the more we maintain it, the better we feel. Obviously, the more clarity we're going to have in our hearts and minds, the more aligned we're going to be. And it definitely helps in scaring away negativity, mostly because we feel stronger and more capable.
Explain that a little bit more, Helene.
Well, obviously if someone is involved in negative practices against their body, like taking drugs or drinking to excess and things like that, it's sort of like asking for trouble a little bit, because then you're not clearly aligned. Your energy is kind of chaotic. You yourself have mood swings and up and down periods, and it just can attract sometimes.
All right. Yeah. Next up, let's go to a couple more calls to go. And Patricia, thanks for yours. Paul is truck driving in North Dakota. Hey, Paul, welcome to the program.
Yeah. Hello, George. I'm a first time caller, and I've been listening to your show for years. It keeps me awake at night. I like driving at night, and so I grab night shifts whenever I can, and it gives me something to focus on and listen to. What I'm calling about tonight is this negative energy. I had an experience when I was a little kid. I'm 56 right now, but when I was about 8 years old, I was living in a neighborhood without any other kids my age, and so I did a lot of playing by myself, and I'd sit and read or build models and that sort of thing, and spending time quietly, looking at bugs and insects and flowers and everything. But I would hear these voices inside my head. And it took me a little while to kind of realize what was going on. Real energetic, angry, screaming, moaning, crying voices. And I finally, one day, I just said out loud, I says, I don't like you. And they sort of disappeared. If I can, I consciously suppress them. But if I sit real quiet, even today, I can sit real quiet and I can let them come up and I can hear them again, hear them screaming and hollering. It's real chaotic, really, really negative, extremely negative. And maybe 20 years ago, I saw a show on Tourette's, and that's the exact thing. Those voices are screaming just like somebody who has Tourette's. And I've got that inside of me, but I made the conscious choice when I was a little kid, before I even knew what was going on. I told them, no, I don't like you, and they've been suppressed ever since. But I know I can feel them inside of me. I know that if I give them some space, some room to get a hold of me, they'll come back up. And
they'll overtake you. You got to be very careful. Helene, we're out of time. Your website, of course, always up and running, angelslighthouse.com. Appreciate all you do, and I'm glad we got through another Friday the 13th with you. Up next, open lines on Coast to Coast AM.